Last night, if you were with us, we considered the ant. And may I remind you tonight, Christian, you may feel small, you may feel insignificant, you may feel as though you're even overlooked, yet remember, always remember this, little as much when God is in it. Amen. You see, friend, the moderates and the modernists and the liberals say that the Bible contains parts of the Word of God. But I'm here to tell you today, the Bible doesn't just contain parts of the Word of God. It is the Word of God.
Amen.
God used 40 authors over 1,600 years to write 66 books that are perfect, that are preserved, and that are still persuading men to this very day. The Bible says all Scripture, Paul said, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That inspiration is has two Greek words, pneuma and theos. Pneuma meaning a breath, meaning to breathe, the word we get pneumonia from, and theos meaning God. So literally, when Paul is saying all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, he is saying God breathe all Scripture.
Amen.
And it is profitable. Oh, just as in the beginning when God formed man, he formed Adam out of the dirt, and he leaned over the banners of heaven and he breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. After the completion of these 66 books by 40 authors over 1,600 years, God again leaned over the banisters of heaven and he breathed on something else, and it wasn't a man, but it was a book. And just as man came to life, this book came to life. And that's why the Bible says the Word of God is quick. That means it's alive. It's alive. It's alive. The Word of God is quick. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword.
Amen.
It says we believe all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and it is profitable. That means even the verses about the ants was given by God.
Amen.
And as you will see tonight, even the verses about the donkeys. When I give you my thought tonight, when I give you my title tonight, I know what many of you is going to think. You're going to think, man, Brother Caleb has to be sick of those Democrat ads and commercials that ran for the last 6 months. And, you know, I mean, that's partly true, I would guess. But God put on my heart a message. I'm just a country preacher from down south. I'm real simple. I'm real plain. And God gives me plain messages. And the thought that God gave me that I began to build a message around was this thought. What's the deal with all the donkeys? Man, what's the deal with all the donkeys? In my church, in the church I pastor, we have a lot of people that really enjoy riding horses. I mean, we got people down there in Washington Parish, they ride horses every single weekend. They go to the trails, they go down by the creeks, they ride them around church property. You say, how do you know, Brother Caleb? Because sometimes I stepped in stuff in our church parking lot. They ride horses about every single weekend. I know plenty of people that love riding horses. I've had the privilege to go to Israel 4 different times, and all 4 times I've went, and the groups that went with us, we all wanted to ride something in Israel, and it was a donkey. Dr. Belcher, it was a camel. Did you ever get to ride a camel? We all wanted to ride a camel. Every one of us that went to the Middle East, every one of us that went to Israel, everyone wanted to ride a camel. I've had the privilege to ride a camel. I even know some people that are crazy enough to get on the back of a bull. I had a brother, he went to glory to be with the Lord at age 20, but he grew up and he was a teenager in the middle 1990s. And you know how Hollywood influences everything. In the mid 1990s, there was a movie that came out that was called 8 Seconds. It was about Lane Frost and Tuff Heterman. And every teenage boy in the South wanted to be a bull rider after that movie. I mean, every single one of them went and got them big old belt buckles. I mean, I'm talking about 36 inches wide and 18 inches high. You know what I'm talking about? And they got those rope belts that was 3 foot too long, so they had to wrap it 4 times, and it went down to their knee. They got the cowboy hats and the cowboy boots, and they spit everywhere. They literally thought they were bull riders. Well, not long after that movie came out, my dad took 3 weeks off from the church, and me and my family, and My Uncle Donald and Aunt Karen and their family went out west. For 3 weeks, we took a motorhome, two families, and went out west. And we stopped by 6 or 7 rodeos. We even went to the granddaddy of them all. We went to Cheyenne, Wyoming. While the Frontier Days was going on, we got pictures by the Lane Frost statue. We went and saw the bareback riders and the bronc riders and the steer ropers and we went and saw the bull riders. And man, my brother and my cousin Lane, they were fascinated with the bull riders. And all that trip they talked about, I'm going to ride a bull, I'm going to ride a bull, I'm going to ride a bull. When I get home, I'm riding a bull. After 3 weeks, we pulled up to the house. My dad turned around and he said, boys, I don't care if I got to go steal a bull out of somebody's field. I'm tired of hearing about this mess. Y'all getting on a bull one way or another. So the next week, we go to Picayune, Mississippi. There's a place down there called Porky's Buckout. And my brother, 16 years old, gets on his first bull. We're in the stands. We're watching with anticipation. I mean, I'm 9 years old. I think this is the coolest thing ever. And they say, now in shoot number 3 out of Bogalusa, Louisiana, bull rider Jeremy Martin. All of a sudden, the chute flies open, and here comes the bull. The bull's just a bucking. The bull's just a bucking. The bull's just a bucking. I look at my dad. I said, Dad, the bull's bucking, but there ain't nobody on the bull. Nobody's on the bull. And all of a sudden, over the PA system, they say, would the paramedics please come to chute number 3? True story. Would the paramedics please come to chute number 3? My brother got knocked out in the chute. He didn't even make it out the chute to ride the bull. He's knocked out on the floor. I know people crazy enough to ride a bull. But never in my life, in these 39 years, have I ever heard one say, man, I want to ride that donkey. We even use slang words to describe people who aggravate us as donkeys. Donkeys. Come on, ladies, you know what I'm talking about. Well, at least my wife does. Yet I was amazed to find out that there are 154 references to the word donkey, or a word to describe a donkey, in the Bible. 154 references in the King James Bible to a donkey or a word that describes a donkey. So again, I ask myself this question, what's the deal with all the donkeys? Why is the donkey one of the top 5 animals mentioned in the Bible? Man, I could understand a lamb. I could understand a lion. I could understand an eagle. I could understand an ox. I could understand a horse. I could understand a camel, but I cannot understand a donkey. What's the deal with all the donkeys? So I ask myself these questions. Is it because of their beauty? And the answer is no. Is it because of their speed? And the answer again is no. Is it because of their power? They must be very powerful animals. And the answer is no. Is it because of their stature? The answer is no. Is it because of their vision? And again, the answer is no. Is it because of their leadership? They must be great leaders. And again, the answer is no. So what's the deal with all the donkeys? If you study your Bible, you will find out that donkeys are so important throughout the pages of Scripture for what they symbolize. When a donkey is not wild, there are wild donkeys in the Bible. We'll talk about them in just a moment. But when a donkey is not wild, but that donkey has been bought, that donkey has been broke, and that donkey has been burdened, that donkey becomes a picture of, number 1, humility, number 2, a picture of service, and number 3, a picture of peace. A peace. So the first thing tonight that we need to know about a donkey is one word that I want us to focus on just for a moment. That word, humility. You see, a donkey is a type and a picture of humility. That word humility means a modest or low view of one's own self. Humbleness. You see, a donkey isn't fast like a deer. A donkey isn't strong like an ox. A donkey isn't pretty like a horse. A donkey oftentimes don't even get noticed. You've probably sat in church for many years and you've never heard a message about a donkey. You will find as you read the scriptures. Donkeys are a part of many biblical stories, but they're always serving behind the scenes in those stories. Hey, by the way, let me just stop here and run a rabbit. Great churches are built and maintained. I know in the word of Christ and on Christ, Christ said upon this rock, and that's the rock, Jesus Christ, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I know what Matthew chapter 16 verse 18 says, but I believe this with all my heart. Churches are built and churches are maintained on the backs of people who are behind the scenes.
Right.
Believe it with all my heart. I've seen it. I've lived it. I've been in it for 39 years, man. I know it. Donkeys are often behind the scenes. One of the most famous stories in all the Bible is in Genesis chapter number 22. In Genesis chapter number 22, it is the story where God calls Abraham and says, Abraham, Abraham, I want you to go to a mount that I'm going to show you, and I want you to offer your only son, the promised son, Isaac. I want you to lay him on the altar, and I want you to kill him. Do y'all remember that story? What a type of, man, there's so many types and pictures in that story. Abraham, a type and picture of God. Isaac, a type and picture of Jesus Christ. The Bible says as they were carrying, Abraham was carrying the fire. He was carrying the knife. And here's Isaac walking up that mountain carrying the wood. God was literally going to sacrifice his son for the sins of me and you. So many types and pictures in that story. As Abraham's going up one side of the mountain, this ram's coming up the other side of the mountain. And I heard a message preached one time. He's the God of both sides of the mountain.
Amen.
But let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. In that story, there is something that's often overlooked. Often overlooked. We know about Abraham and we know about Isaac. We know what happens on that mountain. And we know the angel of the Lord that comes down and grabs Abraham's hand. We even know about the ram that is caught in the thicket by the horns that Abraham grabs and sacrifices. But there's something that's often overlooked. Before they got to Mount Moriah, they took a 3-day journey. And you know what the Bible says? That Abraham saddled up his ass. For 3 days, there was some donkeys that carried the load. For 3 days, there was some donkeys that carried the wood. For 3 days, there was some donkeys that carried Abraham. They carried Isaac. They carried their servants. For 3 days, there was some donkeys that got Abraham and Isaac from their home to the mountain. And yet the ram gets all the shine. And the donkeys are forgot about. There's another story in the book of 1 Kings. I'm sorry, the book of Judges, chapter number 15. Judges chapter number 15, there's a story of the strongest man to ever live. His name was Samson. When I think of Samson, Dr. Belcher, I think of a man like Hulk Hogan, you know, a man that's got muscles on top of muscles on top of muscles up on top of muscles. But literally, when I begin to study the life of Samson, I don't believe Samson was a muscular guy. I believe he was a regular-sized Jewish man, but yet his strength came from not the size of his muscles. His strength came from the power of Almighty God that was resting upon him. That's where his strength was at. Again, let me run another rabbit. Our strength is found in the power and the might of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hey, much prayer, much power. No prayer, no power.
Right.
But in Judges chapter 15, we see Samson, this mighty man, this strong man. And the Bible says he kills 1,000 Philistines. Samson gets the shine. Samson gets the glory. It is Samson that kills 1,000 Philistines. Everybody celebrates Samson, but there's one character in that story that's always forgotten about. The Bible says, and Samson took the jawbone of an ass, a jawbone of a donkey, and he killed 1,000 Philistines. You see, a donkey is a picture of humility, often serving behind the scenes. You say, well, Brother Caleb, what's the application for me? May I suggest to you that if you're serving behind the scenes, keep on serving. God loves the people of low degree. It was John the Baptist said, I must decrease so that he might increase. Amen. It is the Bible that tells us, for my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. The Bible says, humble yourselves before God and he will lift you up. The Bible says, not many wise and not many noble are called. He called the weak things of this world to confound the mighty. You may not feel strong. You may not feel beautiful. May I say, you may be serving behind the scenes, but just keep serving God. Just keep serving God. Others may not notice you, but God notices you.
Amen.
154 times God made sure he put donkeys in the Bible. Be a donkey. A donkey is also a picture of number two, service. You see, a donkey is a type and picture of service. That word service means to help or to aid. Most times in Scripture, a donkey is carrying a load for someone else. Let me say that again. Most times in Scripture, a donkey is not carrying a load for themselves. They're carrying a load for someone else.
Right.
Someone else. A donkey is always toting a load. He's always packing a person. He's always loaded down with a weight. You know why donkeys are so good at service? You know why they call them the beast of burden? That's what they're known as, the beast of burden. This is why they're so good at service. Number one, because they can carry great loads. But I found this fascinating, Dr. Belcher, when I studied this. Number two, donkeys are sure-footed animals. My dad told me a story one time that he went down to one of our missionaries, Brother Rick Shields, down in Mexico. And they were going up into some mountains to minister to some people that hadn't been reached yet. And there's about 15 preachers there, and including Brother Rick and my dad. And he said, man, I've got to get some horses rounded up so we can get into these mountains. We can't drive up there. Brother Rick came back with 14 horses and one donkey. And my dad says, Caleb, guess who got stuck with the donkey? I said, I'm guessing you, Dad. He said, yes, I got stuck with the donkey. I said, well, Dad, why did they stick you with the donkey? He said, because I was the biggest man there. My dad at one time was over 300 pounds. He said, I was the biggest one there, so I had to ride the donkey. The horses couldn't carry me up the mountain. And he said, by the way, the horses wasn't sure-footed. They was worried if they put my big self on back of a horse would slip going up those rocks, and we would all fall down. He said, but the donkey was a sure-footed beast. The donkey could carry the load. The donkey could get me up that mountain and get me back down. You see, a donkey, they don't slip. Rocks don't trip them up. They're not unstable. Friend, God wants his people to be
Amen.
A bunch of donkeys.
Amen.
Donkeys carry the load. And they don't carry the load for themselves. They carry the load for others. God wants us to carry the load for others. That's what Paul writes in the book of Galatians, I believe chapter 6, when he says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ.
Right.
Numbers chapter 22. Fascinating story. A fascinating story involving a donkey. Probably the most famous story outside of the Gospel of Matthew of a donkey in the Bible. Now check this out. If you remember Numbers chapter number 22, God has a prophet in the land of Israel. His name is Balaam. And Balaam meets up with a king from the Moabites named Balak, And the Moabites tried to persuade the prophet of God and begin to buy off the prophet of God to trip up the children of Israel so that they won't be destroyed by the children of Israel and so that they could literally slip in and destroy the land of Israel. So the wicked king of the Moabites, he begins to persuade the man of God, the prophet of God, Balaam. He pays him off, and then Balaam is guilty of taking money to destroy the people of God. One day old Balaam's just riding his donkey. Well, again, what's the deal with all the donkeys? He's just riding his donkey. And that donkey stops. Balaam says, hey, why don't you stop? Stopping, donkey. Donkey won't move. Balaam gets his rod and starts beating that donkey. That donkey starts going crazy. Go read it for yourself. Numbers 22 starts going crazy. And Balaam gets mad and starts beating that donkey again. Then the Bible says that donkey backs up against the wall and it crushes Balaam's foot. And Balaam gets mad. He gets mad. He's screaming at the donkey. And then the donkey collapses and falls down on top of Balaam. And Balaam said, if I had a sword, donkey, I would kill you today. Then God does something very, very special. He lets the donkey speak. Little did Balaam know that there was an angel of war standing in the pass. And if Balaam would have got any closer, the angel of the Lord was going to take his head off and spare the donkey. And the donkey literally begins to talk to Balaam. God uses a donkey to speak. What's the deal with all the donkeys, man? Think about this. There's only two animals. One's a reptile, one's an animal, that is spoken in the Bible. One spoke on the behalf of Satan. It was the serpent in the garden. And one spoke on behalf of God. And it was a donkey. That's why you should hate snakes and love donkeys. Amen. One spoke on the behalf of Satan and the other spoke on the behalf of God. You say, Brother Caleb, what's the application for this? Listen, God has called us to serve others. God has called us to help in aid of others. God has called us to bear one another's burdens. God has called us to tote a load. God has called us to be a donkey. God has called on us to speak on His behalf.
Amen.
If a donkey can do it, so can you.
Right.
Number three. In the Bible, you will find that a donkey is a symbol of peace. Peace. Some people say, man, I thought a donkey was a symbol of stubbornness. That's wild donkeys. But a donkey that has been bought, a donkey that has been broke, and a donkey that has been burdened is a symbol of peace. Now, let me share with you this. In my study, I found that in ancient times, kings rode horses in times of battle.
Right.
And they rode donkeys in times of peace. Also, donkeys are used to bring peace to a flock of sheep. They are used to bring peace to a herd of cattle. Back home where I'm from, there's a lot of cows in Washington Parish. And you know what most cattlemen put out there with their cows? They put a donkey out there. You know why? Because every feline, every type of animal that wants to get in there and destroy those cows or destroy those flock of sheep, they're scared of the donkey. So you know what happens? The sheep can rest easy at night. The sheep can have peace at night. The cattle can have peace at night. Why? Because the donkey's in the field. The donkey brings peace.
Amen.
Listen to this. Have you ever heard of a man named King Solomon? King Solomon was known as the King of Peace. He conquered more land than any of his predecessors without ever firing a shot or pulling a sword. He ruled in Jerusalem, the city of peace. He, Solomon, was a man synonymous with the word peace. You know what I find fascinating? King Solomon, the man of peace, was anointed king. He was anointed king in the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 1. And he was anointed king on the back of a donkey. The King of Peace, gonna rule in the city of peace, was anointed king on the back of a donkey. 1 Kings chapter 1. Oh, then I come over to the Gospels. I come to Matthew chapter number 21. And we see Jesus Christ. Oh, this is good. The man of peace. I'm about to enjoy my own preaching. The man of peace. The prince of peace. The king of peace. We see Jesus Christ, the one that is going to bring peace to the world. He is coming into Jerusalem, the city of peace, for his triumphal entry. And he is riding an animal. What was the prince of peace? What was the prince of peace coming into the city of peace? What animal of choice was he to ride? By the way, Jesus only rode one animal. Can't find another animal he rode in scripture. He only rode one. And by the way, I'm guessing you probably know what it is. He rode a donkey.
Amen.
Think about this. God only used one animal to speak, and it was a donkey. Jesus only rode one animal, and it was a donkey. Take your Bibles with me. Matthew chapter number 21, verse 1 through 5. I want to read this to you real quick. Matthew chapter 21, verse 1 through 5. The Bible says, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and they were come to Bethpage and to the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass or a donkey tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say, Aught unto thee, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. And this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet." Now listen, who spoke this? Who spoke this? Zechariah spoke this. This is found in Zechariah chapter number 9, verse number 9. Listen what Zechariah says, and Jesus quotes it. "Tell the daughters of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass or a donkey, a colt the foal of an ass." You see, Jesus, the man of peace, the Prince of Peace, coming into the city of peace, Jesus rode a donkey to tell the world that day, "I'm bringing peace."
Amen.
They were saying Hosanna that day and throwing palm leaves down because they literally thought he was about to bring war. They thought he was going to bring war. They thought he was going to try to overthrow the Roman emperor. And they thought he was going to try to overthrow the Roman reign. But Jesus is literally showing this example of riding this donkey coming into Jerusalem. I am fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah, and I am fulfilling the prophecy of the angels in Luke chapter number 2 when they told the shepherds, "Said unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior which is Christ the Lord." And they made this statement, "Peace, peace, peace on earth, goodwill to men." Jesus comes into the city of peace, the Prince of Peace, riding a donkey to show the world, "I'm bringing peace."
Amen.
Bringing peace. There's an application for us. God wants us to be a bunch of donkeys. If a donkey can do it, so can you. We're not here for confusion. We're not here for division. We're not here for disunity. We're not here for hatred. We're not here for war. We are called to be people of peace.
Amen.
Bible tells us in Matthew chapter number 5, words of Christ. He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 18, "For if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men."
Amen.
If a donkey can do it, so can you. In closing, I saved the best for last. It's like dessert. How many of you like dessert? As you can tell, I like dessert. Hey, I'm saving the best for last. In closing, what's the deal with all the donkeys? Here's the deal. God wants to use your life. God wants His people to be a bunch of donkeys. We don't need to be the most beautiful. We don't need to be the most powerful. We don't need to be seen. We don't need to be heard. He just wants us to be used.
Amen.
And for a donkey to be used, some things have to take place. For a donkey to be used, there's some things that have to take place. For you to be used, there's some things that has to take place. You say, "Brother Caleb, what has to take place for a donkey to be used?" First of all, he's got to be surrendered.
Yep. Amen.
Got to be surrendered. A wild donkey can't be used. You know, the Bible talks in Jeremiah chapter number 12 and Genesis chapter number 16. The Bible gives references to wild donkeys. In Genesis chapter 16, he's talking to Abraham about his son Ishmael, the sinful seed. And he says, you know what? You know what God tells Abraham? He says, "Abraham, your son Ishmael, he's going to be a wild man."
Yep.
Calls him a donkey. And said, "No man will be able to tame him." But if you're going to be used of God, you can't be a wild donkey. If you're going to be used of God, you've got to be surrendered. You say, "Well, Brother Caleb, how do I surrender my life?" First of all, you've got to be bought. And we'll get to that in just a minute. That's real good. Number two, you've got to be broken. And number three, you've got to be burdened.
Amen.
Number two, if God's going to use you, not only do you got to be surrendered, you got to be sure-footed. Like a donkey, you can't easily fall by the wayside. Hey, you can't get hurt and quit. You stay in church long enough, you're going to get hurt. You know why? Because we're humans. I'm looking at a man who's been in this thing a long time. I guarantee you, him and his precious wife and their family's been hurt numerous times. I can speak on behalf of a preacher's son. I've seen my family hurt many times. I myself have been in the ministry now 19, almost 20 years, and I've been hurt numerous times. But I ain't quitting, man.
Amen.
Man, I want to be sure-footed. I want to be steady. I don't want to fall by the wayside. Hey, if you're going to be used of God, you got to be like a donkey. You got to be sure-footed, man.
Yep. Amen.
There's so many Christians today that they're like Reuben. If you don't know who Reuben is, he was one of the sons of Jacob. And the reason that Reuben, the elder son of Jacob, could not be blessed by his father, because the Bible says that Reuben was unstable as water.
Yep.
Unstable. Many Christians today, and I know I'm Tuesday night, I'm preaching to the choir, and I applaud you for being here, but there are many Christians today that can't be used. You know why? Because they're unstable as water. They're not sure-footed.
Right.
That's right.
God wants to use you. Just like he used the donkeys. If he's going to use you, you got to be surrendered. You got to be sure-footed. But number three, you got to be willing to carry Christ. There's only one animal in the scripture to ever carry Jesus, and it was a donkey. If God is going to use us, I should not be interested in carrying my name around. I should not be interested in carrying my church's name around. And I'm thankful for the name my parents gave me. And I'm thankful for the local church that I got to pastor. But I've got a call, I've got a commission, and I've got a command on my life not to brag on my name, not to brag on my church's name, but to brag on my Savior's name. Hey, if we're going to be used of God, we got to be like a donkey. We got to carry Christ wherever we go.
Amen.
If you're going to be used, you've got to be like a donkey. You've got to care about others. They're an animal of service. They never carry their own load. They carry others' loads. If we're going to be used of God, we've got to help bear one another's burdens. We've got to help each other. We've got to carry the burdens of others. Next, if you're going to be used of God, you've got to be like a donkey. You have to speak on His behalf. In Numbers, we find out that the only animal that ever spoke for God was a donkey. If we're going to be used of God, we have to be willing to speak on His behalf. We have to be willing to tell others about His grace. We have to be willing to tell others about His redemption. We have to be willing to tell others that Jesus isn't a good way to heaven. Jesus isn't the greatest way to heaven. That Jesus is the only way to heaven.
Yeah.
Got to be able to speak on His behalf. See, the donkey is the only animal to speak on behalf of God. And the donkey is also the only animal in the scripture to carry Christ. If a donkey can do it, so can you. Lost person, I don't want to leave you out. I want to share with you something about a donkey in the Word of God. This is the best part. Lost person, you're a wild donkey, man. You ain't been bought, you ain't been broke, you ain't been burdened. You're a wild donkey. You see, a wild donkey bites, a wild donkey kicks, a wild donkey stubborn, a wild donkey's unclean. But take your Bibles with me to the book of Exodus, chapter number 13. Exodus chapter number 13. When you get to Exodus chapter 13, we're going to read verse 13. Look what the Bible says. And every firstling of an ass or a donkey, thou shalt redeem with a lamb. I'll read that again. Every firstling of an ass or a donkey, thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. You see? Why did God tell Moses this? That every donkey that's born, the first of the donkeys that are born, they have to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. If not, their necks will be broken, because a donkey in Jewish culture and Jewish customs is an unclean animal. It's unclean. And for that donkey to be clean, for that donkey to be used, for that donkey to be profitable, for that donkey to be used by its master, it had to be bought. It had to be redeemed. And it couldn't, oh, this is good. It couldn't be redeemed with money. It couldn't be redeemed with gold. It couldn't be redeemed with silver. It couldn't be redeemed with silk. It couldn't be redeemed with trade. It had to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It had to be redeemed.
Yeah.
By the blood of a lamb. Look at this. Exodus chapter number 34, verse number 19 and 20. Exodus chapter number 34, verse number 19 and 20. All that open the matrix is mine, God says, and every firstling among thy cattle, whether ox or sheep, that is male. But the firstling of an ass or a donkey, thou shalt redeem with the lamb. If thou redeem him not, thou shalt break his neck. Again, the donkey was unclean. The only thing that could make the donkey useful, he had to be redeemed. He had to be bought. Before the donkey could have a burden, before the donkey could ever even be broken, before the donkey could ever be bridled, before the donkey could be useful in any way, that donkey was going to be a wild donkey unless that donkey was bought, unless it was redeemed. And the only thing that could redeem a donkey was the blood of a lamb. You see, God wants us to be a bunch of donkeys, right? I'm looking at a bunch of donkeys. And you're looking at a big donkey up here. I was unclean. I was a wild donkey. Hey, I was raised in church. I was brought up in the man of God's house. Hey, I had the Bible quoted to me. I knew the Bible pretty much inside and out. I could read the Bible, was reading the Bible from the time I was a kid. I was in many prayer meetings. I sat in great revivals. I sat in great moves of God, but I was still lost and on my road to hell. I was still a wild donkey, but praise the Lord. At 16 years old, the blood of the sinless, spotless Lamb of God was placed on my soul, and I'm standing here today no longer a wild donkey, but I'm now a donkey that's been bought not with gold, not with silver, not with cash, but been bought by the blood of the Lamb. That is why John the Baptist looked at Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." See, friend, we was unclean and without hope, but one day God sent the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, and He died on the cross of Calvary, that whosoever shall call upon His name shall be saved. And we have been redeemed by the blood of a lamb. Oh, friend, the thing that turns a wild donkey into the beast of burden that it was meant to be is one thing and one thing only: the blood of the lamb. If you've never got under the blood, come today. Wild donkey, come today. Because He says, if you didn't get the blood, they said, break His neck. Kill Him. If you die without the blood, right, you will experience the second death.
Right.
The Bible says in Revelation chapter number 20, and whosoever's name was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death.
Right.
Wild donkey, if you don't get redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, one day you will die in eternal death. Saved person, let me leave you with this. As the pianist comes, the organist comes. If a donkey can tote a load, so can you. You know what I find fascinating about most donkeys? I don't know if it's every donkey, but most species of donkey are born with a cross on their back.
Yeah.
Ain't that cool? The only animal to ever speak on God's behalf, the only animal to ever carry Jesus Christ, has a cross on its back. Carry the load. Christian, you a donkey. You know what Jesus tells His disciples, us as His disciples, to do? If any man wants to follow Me, let him come, take up his cross, and follow Me.
Amen.
If a donkey can speak on God's behalf, so can you. If a donkey can carry Christ, so can you. If a donkey can do it, so can you. We have no excuse of why we can't be used of God. Because if a donkey can do it, so can I.
Amen.
If God can use a donkey, He can use me.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for this time. Thank You for this opportunity. Pray You just bless this message. God, maybe some hearts were touched. I don't know. But Lord, I just pray, Heavenly Father, that we would see the simple things. That God, You can use a donkey. You can use me. That I would just be surrendered. God, I'd be sure-footed. I'd be willing to carry Christ wherever I go. That I would speak on the behalf of God. That I would not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. God, if You can use a donkey, You can use me. Lord, bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.